This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
It continues to get more and more interesting in the trial of Karen Reed every single day. New testimony, easier swing. Kind of along the line of, can there be reasonable doubt? Is there not reasonable doubt? And it's swinging back and forth quite a bit. In my opinion, it's been swinging the line of, there's at least manslaughter charges going on here. But to second degree, where are we at? Again, that seems to change almost all the time. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, joining us. We'll dive into a lot of different angles in this. But since we last talked, there's been a lot of witnesses on the stand, including a medical examiner, including the, which is also the person who did the autopsy on Karen Reed. The kids have tested. Testified, and several others. What to you has stood out in this last week as some of the most compelling testimony in this trial?
Yeah, as you're saying, Tony, you know, this thing swings back and forth. This is probably the most challenging case we've ever looked at together just because of this swing back and forth, both between the first trial and our focus on law enforcement and their incredible missteps on to this trial, which is everyone's doing a much better job, both defense and prosecution. This week, I'll tell you, the medical examiner's testimony was really compelling for me this week. She said a lot of things because, again, we got to remember that I think the most challenging thing that we sometimes have is thinking in terms of reasonable doubt. And that's what this defense is doing a really good job of this week. So I think it was a good week for defense on reasonable doubt, not that she didn't do it 100%, but there's reasonable doubt that she may not have. And so I think that's what the medical examiner really did a good job of for defense is saying, there's a possibility here. And again, that's all the jury needs is reasonable doubt.
I agree. I think it's just, it's really, it feels very much like where are you leaning is how you're going to take some of her testimony. Because I can see how it went in some of the defense ways, but I can see some other bigger ways where it went actually in the prosecution's way. There was the point where it was being questioned of, and I don't have the exact verbiage in front of me, but is there a possibility, basically, that the injury to John's knee could have come from like a side swipe? That's, again, I'm saying that. I know it's not perfect exactly what was said in court, but that's the gist of it. And the answer was could be. No. Yep. The answer could be was there to some other things as well. Yep. But that's the first time we've had the medical examiner acknowledge that John's knee injury could possibly be, from a sideswipe, which I also find interesting because Karen Reed in the documentary Body in the Snow also says, could I have sideswiped him? Could I have hit his knee or something? Could right. he be out there, throwing up in the snow? Weird things to say when you saw him go into the house why would you know he threw up? Why would you think you hit his knee specifically? And again, all of this, why, if you saw him go into the house, why would you even be wondering those sorts of things? That to me is where it gets to be very, very questionable in consciousness of guilt. The person themselves is saying this over and over and over in God knows how many different ways. The other day I grabbed every clip I could find of Karen Reed saying something rather questionable or something that pointed to possible consciousness of guilt. And it was like 20 some minutes long, clip by clip by clip by clip by clip. There's just so much of it. And these are not big clips. They're like 10, 20, 30 seconds apiece. So there's a lot of times she said a lot of things that make people wonder, how do you know that? Why are you questioning this or that? But again, that's where reasonable doubt comes in. And at the end of the day, that is all that matters, whether she is innocent of it or guilty of it. That's where you have the factually innocent part. Factually innocent, meaning you can't quite 100% prove it in court that she did it. Even if there is a lot of evidence to it, there's still reasonable doubt. But we're getting closer and closer with more pieces. And as of this recording, I have not heard, I don't believe we know as of this moment, if a judge is going to be letting in the updated vehicle timestamp data. Right. And the timestamp data is not anything new. It's not changing the timestamp data. It is aligning it with John's phone. Because every device we have, whether it's this, whether it's this computer, or the computer you're watching this on, or the device you're having, guess what? We're all probably off by a couple seconds because that's just how the devices work. So they needed to find a way to sync that up. And they had not gotten into the vehicle data as in depth as they have until this trial. And what it looks like is that vehicle data is going to sync up, allegedly, basically to showing vehicle strike, and then the time John stops using his phone.
Yeah, that's going to be really the most compelling thing to look at in the coming couple days here. What was interesting, the statement you made to consciousness of guilt mm-hmm. regarding Karen, I really wonder whether that thought process is in her mind or was ever in her mind. I'm thinking more that she goes into self-preservation mode. And that for her, it's what we've seen throughout is controlling that narrative because she goes into self-preservation mode. So whether she think, I don't know if that thought of me being guilty really entered her mind one way or the other or still does, but it's more of the self-preservation actions she's taking, which looks like, consciousness of guilt or something like that. So, and therein lies why it's so muddled and why it's hard to understand because her communication, the way she communicates, is always in self-preservation mode. And that's what I think the jury's going to be really thinking about, is that consciousness of guilt, or is it just some narcissist, that's self-centered and trying to control a narrative?
Yeah, I mean, and I have my opinions on that, obviously, of just when we break down all of her behavior, it kind of, there's a pattern to it. It certainly goes along a path of a certain playbook that, she's playing perfectly. She'd be, gold star. you answered all the questions correctly.
Very predictable.
And that's what leads me to, when you put it all into context, and if unfortunately you've had someone that seems to follow this sort of pattern of behavior in your life for any significant period of time, it's easier to see. You have more reps in it. I do. I have a lot of reps in it. And other people that I've seen online that have also been in similar circumstances or have had somebody with this type of personality in their life, they see it too. And unfortunately, you don't it doesn't stand out to you the way it does until you've lived it, until you've had those reps there. It's like when you have kids. You don't know what life is like until you actually have kids. And right. Then you have them, and it's like, oh, holy shit, this is a completely different world I didn't even know of, I couldn't even comprehend of until I've been in it. Same with having someone like that in your life for a long period of time and being abused by them and not realizing it and all of that. It makes more sense. If you haven't been there, and I get it's harder to see. I completely understand that. I mean, I have conversations, you know, with family about my own story, the people I've been with, and they have hard times understanding what I'm talking about sometimes mm-hmm. because it's looked at in a very different context of not having lived through that or had that sort of experience. But when you look at all of this together, that's where it starts to look really shady. And you were talking about consciousness of guilt. Right. You brought consciousness of guilt up then. Consciousness of guilt and self-preservation mode. Self-preservation mode when you're 7 is kind of different than when you're 37, 47, 57, whatever it may be. It should be. Hopefully it is. But some people it's not. Some people socially and in relationship-wise, they get stunted sometimes in life for whatever reason that may be, whether it's abuse or a trauma or there's so many different ways. Right. And what I find interesting about this and the behavior of Karen Reed is that it feels like a 7-year-old in an adult's body and how a 7-year-old would react to something like this happening. Stories flailing, just running away from the scene. Number one, that seems like a 7-year-old would do. And you know what? I remember freaking out in my 10-year-old self when I jumped off of the playground at recess one time and I nicked somebody's back with my foot and I felt so guilty and horrible. But did I stay there and face the consequences or fess up to it? No, I ran for my life and hoped nobody would catch me. But that's what you do when you're a child. You know, and then you mature and you go, okay, I want to be accountable for this to a certain extent and for whatever, you know, I've done. Not everybody ever gets there. And so when I see this idea that, you know, Karen seems to have this consciousness of guilt that she struck him, the vehicle's likely going to be showing that. She says it in 50 different ways. That seems like a very childish way to respond. But then you look at her relationship texts with Higgins and just the way that these things are communicating. It's very childish. It's very immature. And the attitude that she is portrayed in all of these documentaries, again, very self-centered, very immature, very just tone deaf to other people's feelings and emotions because it's all about me. That's a kid. And that's where the actions that she seems to portray very much fit a pattern.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. And when you throw alcohol to fuel the fire on there and lower all your filters that you might have tried to put into place to mitigate all those things in ourselves, because a lot of us, you know, do that because we know how we need to behave in proper society and culture mm-hmm. and things like that. But when alcohol is thrown in the fire, all our yeah. inhibitions and our filters and our filtering ability completely gets thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And if you have a pattern of behavior where all you do is continually do that, it gets, you know, there's no regulation, in other words. And as yeah. we've seen with her, she thinks out loud, she acts out loud, she's extremely impulsive. And what you're seeing is you're seeing her at her core without a filter.
Yeah.
And so, and it's funny when you're saying about the kid on the playground, but haven't we also known the kids on the playground when something like that happens that are the ones that come over to help fix the boo-boo?
Sure.
And don't they, though, aren't those the ones that we gravitate to yeah. because we want them part of our lives?
Yeah. And you know what? I felt, here's how silly that story is. I felt so much damn guilt about that for years. Years later, completely side story. I'm in a different city, many, many, many miles away, hundreds of miles away. And an intern of mine brought in her friend that was visiting for the weekend. Guess who it is? This girl who I have not seen since like fourth grade, it's her. And I was like, oh my God. And I said, I was about like 18, 19 at the time. And I'm like, You probably don't remember this, but I have to apologize because I felt horribly guilty about this for the last 12, 13 years since we were in fourth grade. But at recess one time, I did this. She's like, I don't remember that at all.
The universe gave you a do-over, Tony.
I know. And I was like,
what's interesting about that, too.
Yeah.
Because one, that shows, okay, good. Tony's not a psychopath. He actually has a lot of empathy.
I was a scared kid. I didn't want to be in trouble. Yeah. Yeah.
And the most important thing is that you have self-correcting behavior. We were talking about this before the show. You know, the most important thing that we do as a human being is we have self-correcting behavior, that we're teachable, that we learn, that we move forward, we move on. You know, with the documents that we're going to regard in life are self-correcting. We as human beings are self-correcting. But when we get so entrenched in our own confirmation biases that we cannot learn and move forward and take in new data and do analysis and self-reflect and be more mature tomorrow than we are today, that's a scary place to be.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's individuals out there that do not have self-correcting behaviors. And so they become even more predictable because past patterns of key behaviors become exactly the patterns they'll exhibit tomorrow.
Well, it's like it can go two ways when an event like that occurs, whether it be the Karen Reed case or me in fourth grade jumping off of the playground and accidentally, you know, hitting somebody.
Yeah, you never know where a conversation is going to go.
You know, exactly. Like, there's two roads you can go down. Either you can go, or there's really three. You can go back immediately and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have run away, whatever. I didn't do that. I was in fourth grade. Right. Today, I would be very different. But you can run away and then just keep telling yourself, well, that person had it coming. They're mean anyhow. You build up some sort of mentality,
yeah,
some sort of the BS in your mind.
The wound collecting victim mentality, that is probably the greatest predictor of people's behavior. Yeah. Are you a problem solver that continually sees the world as glass half full that I'm going to keep filling up with a hose if it gets empty anyway? Or are you the wound collecting victim that thinks the world owes you, that they're out to get you, that the universe has it out for you?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that generally create a lot of chaos around them. And they also gravitate towards other people with the same mentality. So you have pockets of total chaos, which I'm not saying that all these people involved here were, but enough of them are.
Yeah.
Because let's think about this. Again, boy, we're diving deep on psychoanalysis here, is that when you have a lot of pain because you see yourself as a victim, which is a lot of pain, there's trauma responses in there, what do you do? You typically medicate that pain with overindulgences and bad habits. You know, some people will use that for positive and they'll work out really much harder. Because again, what you're trying to do is you're trying to give yourself a better dopamine hit. And in some cases, as in this group's case, they overindulge. They drink to excess. And then even more stupid things happen, as in this case. And so,
That seems to be the hardest part with this case. I mean, or a lot of things in society right now, people seem to dig themselves very deep into one hole on one side. And then if new evidence presents itself that maybe is contradictory to what that belief is, they are so far gone into that, there's a lot of backtracking and a lot of stuff I'm going to have to admit to being wrong on if I'm going to accept this over here as the truth. So it's a hell of a lot easier to just kind of brush that off and just keep absorbing what's going to reconfirm your own biases, and then you get confirmation bias. And this is why we are where we are today.
Yes, and people don't do that. I mean, once you form an opinion of yourself, of the world, or things even this case, once you're dug in on that, you know, you will only see information that validates your own opinion of yourself and the case and others, because we do not like invalidating our own self-opinion. It's horrendous. You know, Robert Greene, again, we reference it numerous times, you know, laws of human nature. It is extremely accurate when it comes to that. That's why even, you know, every time, you know, we cover a case and we cover elements of a case, and especially this one, when you see comments and you get feedback on this, this, and this, you know, constantly reassessing, you know, like you and I are constantly, I mean, even, you know, in between us talking about this, we're constantly going back and forth. Did you see this? Did you see this? What do you think about this? You know, because you're constantly doing our best. Again, we're flawed as human beings, but doing our best to not be in the way of our own confirmation biases. And I think so on this case, because like we said, on the first trial, you and I were leaning heavily on the other side because of law enforcement malfeasance, you know, a horrible investigation, which is still there.
And we've yet to hear a lot of the arguments in court.
And the challenge with that, though, is in the in-between time, she opened her mouth more, which kind of swayed you the other way.
Exactly.
So
when it's coming from the mouth of the very person being charged and there's so many bizarre things that really point to guilt, you can't ignore it. And had right. because it's new data that came to light that we did not have in round one. And that's why it's good to be able to go back and forth and kind of go, okay, based on this, at the end of the day, is there going to be enough to convict her without a reasonable doubt? I don't know yet because there still is a lot that's yet to be introduced. I think there will be certainly ways that you could look at it where there's reasonable doubt. And I think there's ways where you can't, but it just depends on how your prism works looking at this case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.